Hello and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note in iOS development, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS developer based in Herndon, Virginia. This is show number 104, and today is Monday, January 21st. Developing Perspective is never longer than 15 minutes, so let's get started. All right, first, an explanation and apology for last week. There was no show last week, and the reason for that is my family and I had the flu again. So within, 2 months, we've had two different flus go around our house, which is certainly not pleasant. And then I was traveling a bit in the rest of the week. So my apologies for that. I know many of you, it's part of your week and part of the things you look forward to. So I apologize for not having a show there. And that's why. But I should be, everyone seems healthy. Everyone seems good this week. So we should be back to a normal schedule. And I may even try and squeeze in three this week. That's why I'm starting on Monday. All right. So the topic I'm going to talk about today is actually something that came up, I guess it would be a week and a half ago now, and I was going to talk about it last week, but wasn't able to get to because of illness. And so I was going to talk a little bit about Apple's change to the iTunes Connect policy about screenshots and about whether or not you can basically, Apple changed their policy so that you can no longer change the screenshots of your application unless you're doing a binary update, which essentially means screenshots are now part of App Review. In an absolute way. Before, I'm sure they were reviewed by App Review whenever you submitted an app, but you were able to change them after the fact, which allowed you to do all kinds of funny things. And I think specifically, Apple, as is typical, didn't really explain why. Pretty solid reasoning behind this would almost certainly be it eliminates the likelihood of people creating scam apps in the store. And essentially, it's a situation where someone creates an app with a name vaguely similar to, say, a popular game. And then they submit it with screenshots that are related to what the game actually looks like. Some very simple, game. Apple approves it. And then they go in and they change the description in the screenshots to reflect, to make it look more and more like the thing that they're trying to copy. And then there's no review on that because the way the app review is sort of a gateway. It's not this constant policing. And often they'll be reported and pulled back, but it's not like those changes were reviewed. And so by requiring screenshot changes to go through app review, it'll likely mitigate or at least reduce somewhat the problem of that. And this is a part of a broader discussion, and that's why I think it's still relevant now. The story isn't that Apple has made this change of policy for the screenshots. That's interesting. The real part of this that's interesting is whenever these things happen, there's always this bit of a backlash, but it's sort of that, of people who complain and moan, oh gosh, it's like these bad apples have ruined it for everybody, and I can't believe I have to do this. It's going to be really annoying. My take on this is, when I see Apple make a change like that, there's like 1% annoyance and 99% happiness. I am delighted whenever Apple makes policy changes whose goal and purpose is to increase user trust, increase user sort of safety in the App Store, because that's how I make my living. That's what I need, are customers who trust that when they see an app in the store and it looks like it's going to do something, that they're going to buy it. And more importantly, that they're willing to take money out of their pocket and give it to me or through Apple for that, which isn't necessarily an easy thing. If a user sees an application that they think they're getting something and it turns out they get something else, the next time they go to buy something, they're going to be very skeptical. They're going to be much more reluctant, and that ultimately is hurtful to me as a developer. And it's one of those things that I think it's easy to think about people, it's like that App Review is sort of a bad part of the store process and is bad for developers or is annoying. I would definitely take the opposite of that. I would say that App Review is the single most significant aspect of the iOS App Store that has made it successful. And there are many other things that are certainly important and are contributing factors. Excellent devices, reasonably large install base, the demographics of the iOS users, and those types of things. They're certainly important. The way the app model works in terms of sandboxing so that apps are safe to install and uninstall, those are all important. But if I had to list out all the different reasons and pick the single most important, I would say without a doubt it's App Review. Because App Review has created an environment where users feel safe and where users know what they're getting. I think about the, you know, sort of the obvious the obvious counterexample of somewhere like Google Play, where Google Play is a store on many more devices than iOS is, and yet it is very difficult for developers to make paid sales there. People just typically aren't willing to put money on the table there, and that I think has far more to do with the fact that people just you never know what you're getting. I mean, there are. I mean, I think it's crazy that, you know, Temple Run 2 from Keith and Natalia was launched last week, and within a day or two, there were already Google Play clones trying to, you know, scam and rip off people on the Google Play Store. There's no review there. They'll go in, and eventually Apple, you know, Google will go and find and pull them out. But all the people who got those apps are now, you know, probably out some money and really annoyed. And that creates this really negative experience. App review is one of those necessary evils. And that's not even to say it's necessarily an evil. It's just a necessary part of commerce. It seems kind of – it's one of the – you know, if you take a step back and you realize that, you know, what you're engaging with these with your customers is, you know, honest to goodness business. It's straight up commerce. There are a lot of things that if you were a normal mom and, you know, a corner store selling things, the number of regulations and processes and things that go into the products that you're selling is fairly high and significant. And that's a good thing. You know, when I'm buying, you know, it's like when I go to the gas station and fill up my car with gas, I'm pretty confident that that's going to be gasoline and they're not giving me something else, because there is regulation and, you know, procedures in place to protect that. And that's a good thing. That creates trust, which ultimately helps me as a user. So it's something that I think is really, really important. Now, there's some things that it does that, you know, certainly are side effects of that. And these are where it starts to get into the more practical part of what I wanted to talk about today, in terms of there are a couple of side effects of, you know, of App Review. And probably it's also fair to say App Review is not going anywhere. It's not something that if anything, it'll get tighter and tighter rather than looser and looser. And that's, like as I was sort of just saying, that's a good thing. I'm really, really genuinely happy about that. I think it's a good thing. I'd rather be slightly annoyed and be able to make a sustainable business than have this freeform Wild West where it's very hard to make a living. And so, you know, there are a couple of things that are kind of the natural side effects of review. The most important, which is actually, I think, a big plus, that's a sort of a tertiary benefit, is that it forces a more thoughtful development approach. This is something that I've certainly seen in my own experience. Say if you compare it to, you could just say, you know, to developing on something like Google Play, where updates go out immediately, or even just to web development or something like that, where you don't have to live with your mistakes for very long. If you push an update to a website and something's wrong, you can push out another update immediately. You know, there's no barrier to correcting mistakes, and so you don't have to live with them hardly at all. I think that's a very significant difference compared to what you have on iOS, where you have to live with your mistakes for, you know, up to a week, 2 weeks sometimes. And so you have to be much more thoughtful about what you're doing. You have to be more careful. You have to be much more just sort of, you know, disciplined in what you're doing so that you don't end up with that situation. And that slows down a bit the churn that you could do. And I think overall, that's a good thing. I think it certainly helps me to be more careful about what I'm pushing out the door, because I know that I can't just immediately fix it or go back. You know, once an update's out there, it's going to spread and it's going to be what most users are going to get. And there are a few things that Apple does to certainly mitigate this. You know, you can do the expedited review process, which is great. You know, I had to use it over the Christmas break or just before the Christmas shutdown. Because, you know, I pushed an update that disabled in-app purchase accidentally, which was a bit awkward. And, you know, it's like Apple was very responsive. It was, even though it was right at the peak of, app, you know, the Christmas app review, they were, you know, turned around within maybe about 12, 18 hours even. It was a really quick, you know, quick process, and that was awesome. And I'm glad that's there. But, you know, that's my one use for probably the next year where I could, you know, do an expedited review. And so I have to be very careful now, very thoughtful, very deliberate about what I push to the store. And that's a good thing. So first, I'd say that's the number a big advantage that you can kind of take the app review reality and turn it into a strategy to help improve your process. Is you have to looking at it as, this is a great opportunity for me to make sure that I'm building good quality solid products, and I'm shipping them only when they're ready, ready to, you know, when I think that they're at a point that they're ready for the customer to see. So use that to your advantage. You know, have that discipline, have that thoughtfulness, because you have to. You know, it's not a bad thing for someone to force you to be a better developer. And so in that case, you know, just live with that and embrace it. First, and then another thing that I'd say that is also great about the review process, and this is something that I've started doing more and more, is you just kind of start using it to your advantage in terms of, I think most people are familiar with kind of a development process where you have the concept of a release candidate. So, you know, say if you were starting with a normal, sort of development cycle, you'd have an alpha version of a product. So let's just say it's a new product. You have an alpha version, which is basically works, but was nowhere near shipping. A beta product is feature complete, could be shipped, but you don't think is ready. And then you end up with a release candidate, which is something you're saying, I believe this is ready to go to the store and to customers and ready out the door. But I want to verify that through some kind of quality assurance or testing process. What I've typically started doing is I will submit all of my release candidates to the App Store as soon as I can sort of brand them as release candidates, and then I will set the status in the store so that it won't release immediately to customers if that app gets approved. And the reason I do that is if you say recently they've been pretty quick. I've seen a lot of reviews coming around in a couple of days, but typically you have to plan on at least a week, sometimes two, depending on what time of year it is. And if you're planning that into your cycle, then you submit your release date as soon as you brand it as such. Then you have a week or two to do your internal testing, your user testing, all those kinds of things. If you find a problem before it goes into review, you can just pull it and resubmit it, release RC2 or submit RC2 if it's at that point. If it turns out RC1 was great and you didn't have any problems, or you didn't have any problems that were, showstopper significance, you just let it go through review and approve it. And if you do, by taking that approach, you actually haven't lost any time from the review process, in terms of you're not actually delaying when you can ship really at all. So a lot of people complain about the process of like once it's finally ready to ship, they then have to wait another week. It's a week without revenue, a week before it can get to customers, and so on. And I think that's a nice sort of side effect of this approach, is that you don't really lose that time if you submit your RCs right when they're ready. And so that's what I do. I mean, it's like a great example of that where it was actually really helpful. I was with Check the Weather, where I submitted my first RC, it was approved pretty quickly before I was even ready for the press and the promotional side of what I was doing, and it meant that I had an app approved in the store that I could generate promo codes for, send to people. And I talked about this in the old episodes about how I generated promo codes and sent them out before the app was actually released, which meant people didn't have to do ad hoc builds and had these great sort of knock on effects, which were great. And so that's what I do to kind of take advantage of that. Another thing I'd also like that's beneficial about the review timeline and the time delay especially, is that it means that you have this extra time to time shift your work. So for example, say you're working on the website for your application. It's going to have a promotional site, or you're going to have those types of, press outreach, all those kinds of activities. You can be doing those while the app is in review. And so you can shift, rather than whenever you actually ship the app having to have all your ducks in a row, you can essentially just have only you get the programming done up front, and then you have a week to do all the other side, sort of the promotional or marketing activities. And that's kind of just a nice additional benefit of having it. Some people would say, oh, it'd be better if I didn't have to do that, but the reality is it is what it is. These are some things that I do to make it better and more useful for my own time. Anyway, so hopefully that's helpful and thoughtful and interesting for people. That's how I view App Review. I love App Review. It is what has allowed me to do this independent and do this full time. And I think I say that without any sort of irony. I really don't think without App Review I'd be able to be an independent developer, because that's the thing that builds customer confidence. And customer confidence is what makes people comfortable opening their wallets and giving me money. So anyway, that's it for today's show. I'm definitely going to encourage you to reach out if you have any questions or comments, just through either emailing me, david@david-smith.org. You can hit me on Twitter. I'm _DavidSmith there, or I'm davidsmith on app.net. And I'm going through a period now. It'd be great if you have questions or things for me to address on the show. I'd love to do that for you. Topics or ideas or things that you have, just let me know. And otherwise, I hope you have a great week. Happy coding. And I will talk to you hopefully a couple more times this week. Bye.